Greet you in Christ's name. Good to be here this morning. I really appreciated that sharing time. There's something so encouraging to hear from everybody and how we're doing and sharing together. I think that's so great, good thing that was put in place here at this church. The title to this morning's message is The Way of the Cross, Identifying with Jesus in His Death. I don't know if you're like me, but I have in the past struggled to know what to do with the cross. And I want to try to address that this morning from Scripture. What do we do with the cross? The text this morning is Hebrews 13, verses 10 to 16. And I invite you to turn to that. We'll be reading that here in a few moments. A Franciscan university in Ohio recently posted a series of ads on Facebook for their school and some of the programs that they were offering in their school. And one of the ads was rejected by Facebook. They got this message back that we can't accept your ad because, as they put it, it is shocking, sensational, and excessively violent. And the reason they rejected the ad is because it had the cross of Christ on there. They wouldn't accept that ad because it showed Jesus on a cross, a depiction of Jesus on the cross. The university, surprisingly enough, said, yes, we agree with you that it is sensational and shocking and extremely violent. The cross was indeed that. It was a terrible instrument of death and suffering. It wasn't a nice, smooth, easy thing. You go today and you see people walking through around and they've got a nice shiny gold chain on, and in there is a little cross on the bottom of that chain. It's an item of decoration, but it's beautiful, it's shiny, it's smooth. That's not the cross. The cross was a cruel instrument of death. That's what the cross was. In the time of Christ, thousands, and you may not realize this, but thousands of people were crucified. We read about in the Gospels of the three that were crucified that day when Christ was crucified. But there were literally thousands. And something you also may not be aware of is that there would be regular processions down the street of these people who were going to be crucified. And it was a horrible thing to watch because everybody knew that if you were walking down the street carrying a cross, you were going to die on that cross. You were going to die on that cross that you were carrying, just like Christ did. I can imagine the people cringing, stepping back in horror, realizing what the end was going to be of those people. And yet Jesus, who died on that cross prior to his death, says that if you don't carry your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. You don't hear a lot about that today. The cross, carrying the cross. If you don't carry the cross, Jesus said, and follow me, you can't be my disciple. If you're not one of those people that are carrying their cross, of course, figuratively, it's not literally, but figuratively carrying that cross, you can't be one of my disciples. I'd like you to stand, if you would, and we'll read our text from Hebrews 13, verses 10 to 16, and remain standing for a prayer. Hebrews 13, verses 10 to 16. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, Then let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share with what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look at your word this morning. I just pray that you would be here with your spirit. We know that you are, and speak to each one of us. Speak to me, speak to each one of us through the preaching from the word. Pray this in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. A bit of context on our passage of scripture from Hebrews. The blood of sacrifice, he says, was brought into the temple. It was a sign of the blood that Jesus would shed on the cross. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross is for our atonement. It atones for our sin. And we're so happy that Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And I'd like you to be very visual with me this morning. We know that as he was hanging there on the cross, there were spikes going through his wrists and in his feet, and there was blood dripping down. There was blood dripping down, lots of blood. Later on, when the soldier came by and poked the side of Jesus, out came water and blood. That blood atones for our sin, literally, it does. It is adequate to atone for our sins, everybody here in this room. It's adequate to atone for the sins of the whole world. There's enough blood there to atone for the sins of the whole world. And God was pleased to accept that atonement. But there's more to the cross than the blood of Jesus. This is where we don't spend enough time talking about. There's more to the cross, the death of Christ, than just the blood. There's also suffering. There's also death and suffering that each believer must take part of. The blood atones for our sin. The death is something we must partake in every day. The death and resurrection of Christ. That's the way of the cross. Hebrews, in our study, in our text that we just read, says that it happened outside of the city gate. It happened outside of the city gate, and that's one reason we believe that, in fact, the site of the cross, of the crucifixion, was at Golgotha. It was outside of the city gate. It was a cruel cross of suffering on a garbage dump called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And nearby is a tomb that temporarily housed the body of Christ. Jesus suffered horribly as he was nailed to the cross. By faith, we also, as followers of Christ, died with Christ on the cross by faith. And each one of us here in this gymnasium who is a Christian must take part of the cross of Christ each day of our lives. You're going to hear that again and again from me in this message, that cross is something that we take part of for the rest of our lives. We must partake in that cross. By faith, we take up the cross daily and die with Christ. We die to self. Our old man is crucified with him by faith. My question to you and to myself is death and suffering a part of your experience? The disgrace that Hebrews talks about in our text was the cross, cruel instrument of death. The writer to the Hebrews, we don't know who he was, is asking his readers and us to go to Jesus outside of the camp to bear the disgrace and reproach that he bore, to identify with Christ in his humiliation and suffering. He is asking us to take up the cross also, our cross. We are all granted an instrument of death that we carry as a claim, and we claim as our own. He is asking us to carry the instrument of our own death, to join Christ outside the camp in suffering and sacrifice. Popular Christianity does not preach the cross as it should be preached. It's just not out there. They're pleased with the atonement for sin. We are too. We accept the atonement for sin. We're pleased with that. That's a great thing. We're thankful for that. They're good with salvation that's free. We are too. That's great. They are good with a salvation that is a mystical one-time experience. Come forward and receive Christ and receive eternal salvation. It's a beautiful and a heartwarming thing. We believe that also. But the real cross of Christ is not much in popular Christianity. The cross that we must take up and carry every day in our relationship with Christ is not attractive. It's not smooth and shiny. It's rough and it's heavy. And it involves separation and disgrace and sacrifice. We here at CMF can't forget about the cross too. It's easy. I know I don't think about the cross a lot. But I guarantee you that you will think more about the cross after you are here today. Because you're going to hear me mention it a lot more. You're going to think about the cross. And I hope that you will think about the cross in the way that it should be thought of. What does it mean to take up my cross and follow Jesus? What does that actually mean? We've got to put it into practical terms. I know some of you have probably heard this term, and it's old people talk this way. I don't know if young people even talk about this way. They have an illness, maybe. They've got a particular ailment. And you go ask them about that ailment, and they say, well, that's my cross. I just have to bear that. Is that a cross? No. It's an ailment. That's what it is. I have a relationship that I struggle with. And you'll hear them say, well, that's just my cross, okay? It's not your cross. It's a relationship that you're struggling with. The cross is something else. Do we take up the cross, or is it optional? I think you know the answer already, but I'm going to talk about it again some more. Do we take up the cross, or is it optional? We start then with the scriptural imperative. What does the Bible say about taking up the cross? And I'm going to use Luke 9, 23 to 24. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There's a threefold imperative here for all of us who wish to follow Christ. If I want to be a Christian, if I want to be a Christ follower, anyone who is serious about coming to Christ must be willing to do what Christ asks in this scripture. As a Christian, this gives me only one choice: take up my cross daily. Discipleship is on God's terms. We must be willing to bear our cross if we want to be a disciple of Christ. There's no other way. It's not optional. You cannot be a disciple of Christ and refuse to take up your cross daily. Much like Josh shared with us last Sunday, we don't have the option of Jesus as Savior without Jesus as Lord. It's the same concept. But there's not options. It's not an optional thing. And the threefold imperative is this. Number one, deny himself. Deny himself. What does that mean? To deny myself. It means to disown myself. It means a denouncement of self. It's the same term that Jesus used to Peter, about Peter, when Peter used of Christ. He says, I don't know that man. That's a denial. That's what this term means. To deny myself I don't know that man. I don't know self anymore. I reject self. I forsake and renounce self. That is what denying self means. Number two, the imperative is to take up your cross daily. The same instrument of death that Jesus carried and died on is our instrument of death, the beam from which we must hang daily, a symbol of torture and suffering, a personal instrument of death. If we want to follow Christ, we must daily take up that cross. That's pretty rough there. It's a pretty strong statement that I'm making. But I say it on the authority of Scripture. This is a requirement for us as Christians. It's not optional. Take up your cross daily. There's nothing mystical about this. As I mentioned earlier, when the death march happened in the time of Christ, the people were walking down the street and they were carrying a cross on their shoulders. They were carrying a cross with them. And it didn't have a little wheel on it like some of these weirdos that you see walking down the street. I don't know if you've ever seen one or not, but I have. It's going down Route 29 close to where we used to live. There's a guy carrying a cross, but he made it a little easier for himself. He had a little wheel at the bottom, and he would carry this cross down through there. That's not it. That's not what carrying the cross is. It's attention getting, but it's not that. To be a disciple of Jesus, we are on a death march. We are on a death march. That's what carrying our crosses daily is all about. It's a death march. Being willing to follow Christ as he walked to his death, our identity with Christ in his suffering and death. The third imperative that's in this verse here is follow me. Number one, denying ourselves. Number two, taking up our cross. And number three, following Christ. Going with God, not choosing my own path. Following Christ on his march to death. Okay, the burning question that I need to answer this morning is one I hope you're thinking about and wondering about. Is the burning question is, what is our cross? Preacher, you're saying that you got to carry your cross every day. What is it? What does it mean for me? What is the cross? I want to show you a picture of Old Sparky. That's a nickname for the electric chair in the state of Florida. Old Sparky. And I don't know if I would have had the courage to go in and watch Sparky at work. That is a modern day cross. If you want to think of the terms of recent American history, Old Sparky was the cross. It was an instrument of death. A businessman is selling full-scale replicas of Florida's infamous electric chair. John Pauley of North Carolina charges $995 for his models of Old Sparky. He made a replica and he's making money off of Old Sparky. The 75-year-old death chair, that's one of just a few still used in the United States. For a few dollars more, customers get a t-shirt that says, "Only sissies do the injection." I don't know if he's still selling it or not, but he was a few years back selling the models or replicas of the electric chair. Though Pauley won't give numbers, he says his internet and radio ads have yielded sales to bar owners, a sheriff, and even a judge. He admits he's a bit warped, but insists the venture's all in good fun. Fascination with the electric chair is nothing new. In the late 1800s, King Menelik of Ethiopia heard about the introduction of electrocution in the U.S. Intrigued, he ordered three electric chairs from the States. forgetting they wouldn't work in a country that didn't yet have electricity. To salvage his investment, Menelik used one of the chairs as his throne. I can see King Menelik of Ethiopia sitting in the electric chair. What is Old Sparky? Sparky is an instrument of death. That's what the electric chair. If Jesus would have been here in the late 1800s on up through very recently, he would have said, take up your electric chair and follow me. That's what he said. Take up your instrument of death and follow me. Go buy an electric chair. Take the electric chair and embrace it daily with the understanding that it will bring about the demise of self. But the electric chair is going away. Hardly any are left today. It's too gruesome. It's too inhumane. Just like the teaching of the cross in our churches is going away. So what is the cross? Number one, it's the instrument of our death. The cross is the instrument of our death. It's what kills us. It's what's going to kill you. Jesus said, unless you take with you the instrument of your death every day, you can't be my disciple. It's all about taking up the cross, the instrument of our death. I want to share a quote from A.W. Tozer. So the cross not only brings Christ's life to an end, it also ends the first life, the old life of every one of his true followers. It destroys the old pattern, the Adam pattern in the believer's life, and it brings it to an end. Then the God who raised Christ from the dead raises the believer, and a new life begins. We must do something about the cross, A.W. Tozer says, and one of two things only we can do, flee it or die upon it. We have two choices. You have two choices here today. I have two choices. We can flee the cross or we can die on it. If we are wise, we will do what Jesus did, endure the cross, despise its shame for the joy that is set before us. To do this is to submit the whole pattern of our lives to be destroyed and built again in the power of an endless life. We must embrace the cross. Brothers and sisters, we must embrace the cross. Don't run away from it. Embrace the cross. If we're Christians, we have experienced death. When we take up our cross, we consent to our death. We make a conscious surrender to death. By faith, we accept the fact that we have been crucified with Christ. Paul did. Over the years, hundreds and thousands have done it. We too must do that here today, is to die with Christ. Death to self, death to my will, death to sin. By faith, we died also along with Christ. We participated in his death. We were in Christ when he died. By faith, we are participants on that terrible hill of Golgotha. Sin is not dead. I am dead. Sin is all around us. Sin is there. But it is only as I'm crucified with Christ that I can die to sin. So what is the cross? It is the instrument of our death. Number two, what is the cross? It is our identification with Christ in his death. We identify with Christ in his death. The open exposure of Jesus to humility and shame and suffering. The cross of today is crowded around by people who have no idea what it means. Our willingness to die is exemplified by Christ in his commitment to the cross. He worked through that willingness in the Garden of Gethsemane. We must also be willing to die. Our attitude must be the same as Christ. Philippians 2:5-8 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We identify with Christ in his death. By faith, we were there. What does that mean? We died when he died that Friday afternoon 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, when Christ died that Friday afternoon, we died. We accept that by faith. When he died, I died. I was in Christ. That's what the Bible says, and I died along with Christ. That happens by faith. We expired as he did. We died in Christ. Taking up our cross daily is accepting our own demise that happened when Christ died on Calvary's true cross, cruel cross. We identify with him in his death. We identify with him in his new life. He is in us. We are in him. It becomes harder and harder to tell us apart. We died with him on the cross. His cross is our cross by faith. Number three, what is our cross? It's victory in our battle with sin. There is no victory in our battle with sin outside of the cross. Romans 6, and I don't have time to go into that today, but there's that whole first half of Romans 6 talks about how we died with Christ. And that's how we gain victory over sin, is through our death with Christ. We have to do this daily. That's a concept that I have to remind myself of. You have to remind yourself, we have to die daily. We have to die daily. We have to die daily. We're taking up that cross and we're dying daily. Our old self must constantly be made dead through our faith action. We read in the scripture much about the flesh, the wills of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the mind of the flesh, the wisdom of the flesh, the purposes of the flesh, the confidence of the flesh, the filthiness of the flesh, the workings of the flesh, the warring of the flesh, the glorying of the flesh. Through faith, we must accept the demise of the flesh. It happened, but we have to accept it by faith. We have to go back and say, I accept by faith that I died, my old man died with Christ on the cross. We have to constantly go back and accept that by faith. Death is my only source of deliverance from the power of sin. Number four, and this is the one that actually spoke the most to me. What is our cross? What is the thing that we must carry daily? It's the submission of my will to his. The death of my selfish will. That's the most accurate description of the cross that I personally identify with, is the submission of my will to his. If you forget this morning everything else that I say, to remember this: the cross is the intersection of my will and his. The cross is the intersection of my will and God's will. I have to take that up every day and say, God, not what I want, but what you want. The cross is the intersection of my will and God's. I die daily to the running of my own life. By faith, I understand that I cannot run my own life because I'm dead. I died on the cross with Christ. When I pick up that cross daily, I submit to Him. I give up the control that I might wish to have in my own life. My will no longer exists by faith. It's all His will. And this must happen daily. Daily, this must happen. For some of you, it's going to be subconscious. For some of you, it's going to be in your morning devotions. You say, God, you know, whatever you have in mind for me today, I submit to you. What am I doing when I do that? What am I doing when I submit my will to His? I am taking up my cross. The instrument of death to my old self. That's what I'm doing. Every day when I submit to God, I'm taking up the cross. I'm saying, God, it's you. It's all you. It's not me. I die with Christ. I die daily, Paul says. I must submit to Him. Folks, I know most of you are doing this already, but do it consciously. Submit to the will of God. Do it consciously and say, this is what I'm doing. I'm raising this cross. I'm sitting in that electric chair. I'm bolting on those big old electrodes right on my head. I'm doing it by choice. I'm submitting to you. My old life is not where I'm going. It's the new life. And this will change your life. It really will. It makes a difference. Surrender to His working in me, acknowledging my own inability to live for God, allowing Him to kill off my own aspirations and dreams, giving over my plans for His, making Him Lord of my life. I say yes to God when I really want to say no. I want to wrap up the message this morning with some practical cross bearing. This is from our text in Hebrews chapter 13. Practical cross bearing. Practical cross bearing. What does it involve? What does that mean for you tomorrow and the days following? Number one, it means a measure of isolation. It means a measure of isolation. Verse 13 of our text says, therefore, let us go to Him outside the camp and bear the reproach that He endured. The Hebrew writer said, let's go to Jesus outside of the camp and bear the reproach that He endured. What reproach was He enduring outside the camp? He was carrying that cross, the instrument of His death. Let's go to Him and let's do the same thing. Have you experienced a measure of isolation in your Christian experience? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I have. Sometimes in the wrong setting, in a setting where I may be, maybe it's at your workplace, maybe it's wherever you are, you feel isolated. You feel some measure of reproach. You feel a measure of scorn from those around you. Folks, that's normal for a Christian. There is some isolation, even from your friends who are not carrying their cross. There is an isolation. You're different. You are not like they are. There is some isolation there. There is some separateness, some loneliness. The cross brings separation from the world. Not because we are weird, but because we make them uncomfortable, and because we are uncomfortable where they are. The cross and practical cross bearing involves some isolation. If you are at home, perfectly at home in a worldly setting, alarm bells should be ringing. If you are perfectly at home in a party somewhere, if you're perfectly at home in a workplace somewhere where the people are swearing and carrying on and they're doing all this thing and they're bad-mouthing the boss or they're doing whatever it is they're doing, if you're feeling perfectly at home there, you're not carrying your cross. You're not bearing his reproach. So there is a measure of that. Hebrews talks so much about that, of the great men of faith. They were stoned, they were sawn in sunder, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins and in skin of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. There's a rejection that we will experience. I don't know if you've been there, but I have. Where I have spoke up for God in a setting where it was not popular and I was rejected. How did you feel? How did you feel? It's surprising to me. Try it next time. I felt a keen joy in my heart. I felt a keen joy as I walked away and got by myself. I said, you know, this is what it's about. This is the joy that God promised when, Jesus promised when he said the world will reject you. Will you embrace the cross even if it involves isolation? That's taking up your cross. Being willing to face some isolation. The second one is disgrace. Embracing the cross will involve a measure of disgrace. He's not cool. He's different. He's weird. He's not like the rest of us. And there will be some looking down on you as you take up the cross. Verse 13 of our text says, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. There is some disgrace that's involved. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Are you willing to embrace the cross? Decision is yours. I can't make it for you. Are you willing to embrace the cross? Daily. Finally, practical cross-bearing involves sacrifice. Practical cross-bearing involves a measure of sacrifice. It always does. The sacrifice of being pilgrims here, sacrifice of setting our affection on things above. Our text talks about the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of compassion on others, helping others. These are all measures of sacrifice. The way of the cross. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the cross? Every one of you has to do something with the cross. You can either flee it or you can die on it. Two options. You can flee it or you can die on it. Some of you are running away from it. If you're like me, you want to run away from it. Because it's not a nice, pleasant thing. It involves death to our own self. It involves giving up my will for his. That is the way of the cross. I hope you'll make the choice to, along with us to walk the way of the cross. Bear the reproach that he had. Go to Jesus outside the camp and bear his reproach. I call for a song at this time.